Welcome back to Table Talk. Hope you got a good fresh cup of coffee and ready to talk a little bit more about All Saints and All Saints Day, which is being observed this Sunday. Saints, Brent, those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Those whom the Lord wipes every tear from their eyes.
Yeah, who says they're blessed in Matthew's gospel.
Yeah, that's the gospel reading for mm-hmm. this day, right?
Matthew 5. Blessed are those. Yeah.
The Beatitudes.
No, blessed are you, he says, right?
Yeah. Well, you and those and so saints, what role do they play, if you will, in the lives of the saints, like you and I and the people to whom we minister?
Well, it's a threefold kind of thing. I think you can say three things about the importance of this in our daily life. I mean, first of all, you know, we want to give thanks to God for the people that he has used in the past and even in the present. We want to give God thanks for using these people and showing us how, you know, he worked in their lives, how they trusted his word and they trusted the Lord in various afflictions in their life or in the world. Just magnificent here. You know, God's given us all kinds of examples in the scriptures of men and women who believed in him and who showed mercy to other people and lived this little Christ, if you will, not for themselves, but for others.
You know, I as you talk about that, I think of Abraham, who lives by faith.
Yeah,
Saint Abraham.
Yeah.
Saint Abraham. Or the Canaanite woman in the region of Tyre and Sidon, who desires to eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table.
Yes.
Unnamed Saint Canaanite woman, I guess. Many examples in Scripture, and yet also then the saints that surround us, our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
Maybe those who have already departed in the faith, but those who yet live. Mm-hmm. With us.
Yeah, and so again, Thanksgiving. We want to give God thanks for using these people in the world as his instruments to take care of people and to help people. And of course, there's another one, you know, King David. He's another example of how the Lord used in his vocation as king to protect Israel from her enemies. And the Reformation really makes a big point of this, that the governing authorities can actually wage war and protect the country against, and in those days it was against the Turk, the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they were knocking on the doors of Vienna. And so the governing authorities, can we push these people back? Can we wage a war against them? And said, yes, you can, because just King David did. The Lord used him for that.
So Saint Brent could enlist and go to war.
Right. That's exactly right. So that's one thing. So Thanksgiving. There's another thing that we can talk about, and that is that this strengthens our faith. You know, when we see Peter forgiven after he's denied the Lord, we too then are encouraged to believe that, you know, God's grace and his forgiveness is also for us too. Because we're no better than Peter. In fact, we're probably worse.
Well, there too. Saint David is once again a reminder for us too. This great king who, as governing authority, protected God's people Israel, is also an example of one who is restored, who will not die,
right,
but will live because he is forgiven in Christ for his adulterous and murderous acts.
Yeah, that's really important. I think this is one of the reasons too why the scriptures record the events that happen in these people's lives. We've mentioned Peter, we've mentioned David, we could mention many others, but, you know, we're in the same boat. We all have this thing called original sin, and we sin, and we fail. And so we are not to be discouraged, but the Lord restored David. He sent a pastor to David and said, you're the man, you're the sinner. And David said, well, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, well, the Lord's put away your sin. You're forgiven. And similarly with Peter.
Brent, let me go back to what I said in the first half, that sometimes we have members who have this mistaken notion of what a saint is. And they look around at other people and say, oh, you know, they kind of, oh, what a perfect life they have.
But they didn't have one.
but they didn't, right. There's the deception right there. But then they look at their own life and they say, well, you know, I'm not very saintly. And No, the depiction of a saint, and yes, a saint is one who's washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yet, as you've pointed out, in this world, we are yet at the same time saint and sinner, justified and sinners before God. So, saints, don't be surprised that you sin, that you struggle with sin, that you are rebellious. But be reminded that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is what a saint is.
Right.
And not one who's perfected their life. See, that's that misnomer we really have to get rid of.
Right. We are not, to use Kelly Clarkson's language from her song Dark Side, we are not picture perfects if we look at ourselves. But when God the Father looks at us through the lens of his Son Jesus, and as we've been washed in his blood, we are now picture perfects. And so faith in Jesus, you remember in John's gospel, what work should we do? And Jesus says, well, believe. That's the work. Believe. And so faith then is the grand work. It's the number one work. And from that then, all other works that we do that flow from faith are God-pleasing and are holy. And that's what saints do, you see. Saints who believe in Jesus then do good works.
The holy ones do holy things.
That's right. And they're good in God's eyes because of faith in Christ Jesus. A good tree bears good fruit. So, yeah, are you holy? The answer is yes. Yeah, but I still sin. I know you do, but Jesus died for that. And as the psalmist says, God doesn't count that against you anymore. He covers it up, you know, Psalm 32.
So the Lord gets the last word in this, doesn't he?
That's the key.
Because we stand before him. We say, I'm a sinner. And he says, yeah, but I declare to you that you are not guilty. You are forgiven for Christ's sake.
That's precisely what the Lord's doing on the Mount when he preaches that sermon. Says, blessed are. And then he gives all these blessings, all these beatitudes. And he's saying, look, this is my gift to you.
Because once again, the sinner sits there and says, this isn't me. I can't. There's no way I can be blessed. This is not me.
Yeah.
But see, you're looking in the wrong place, folks. You're looking inside yourself for this quality, for this character, for this blessedness. No, it's gift, as you're pointing out here.
Yeah, I want to come back to the Sermon on the Mount in a minute. But I think let's wrap up this. I talked about threefold use of talking about all saints. We've talked about giving God thanks for the people that he's used, all these believers. And then we've talked about strengthening our faith, seeing how the Lord deals with King David and how he deals with Peter, these big sinners, and how he restores them through his word of forgiveness. And then the third thing is imitation. You know, we observe All Saints Sunday for that third reason, imitation. You know, the Lord has good use for his redeemed people, and that is to be, as I said earlier, to be little Christs for the sake of others. You live not for yourself, but for others. Or to use, you know, how Jesus talked, not to be served, but to serve. And really, to give your life for others. You know, not to atone for their sin or anything, because only Jesus did that. But you give your life for the sake of other people. And so this is the imitation. We see how the Lord used a Peter who really did literally give his life for the sake of preaching the gospel. Because he was martyred. All right? King David, who lived for others. Did he do it perfectly? Not in our eyes, but... He did. He lived for other people.
Well, and Brent, I think that gets to part of the imitation as well. I mentioned this time and again. What are we trying to teach, for instance, our children? You know, that we are perfect and holy in and of ourselves. We never do wrong and so forth. Part of the imitation of the saints is humble repentance.
Thank you for saying that.
Right? Here's how we model. Here's how we mentor. Here's how we coach. You know, use all the buzzwords you want to. But your children look at the father, look at the mother, and they say, oh, look, here's one who's not so full of himself.
Yeah.
But he realizes his sin. And he just leans on Jesus. He trusts in Jesus and that forgiveness.
Yeah, so there we got King David and Peter again as imitations, examples, if you will, for us to imitate. Yeah, or Mary. Let it be to me as you've said. Even though it's hard to believe and unbelievable, totally unbelievable, well, let it be. I believe what you said.
Amen. Right, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I guess, Lord, you get to have the last word here again, too. Your word is true.
I'm glad you said that because that's very important. We tend to forget that part of the imitation of the saints is repentance. To repent. To say, I've sinned. I've sinned against the Lord, King David said.
And not a repentance which is turned into a work by which we earn God's forgiveness. You know, you think of Luther as a monk, and the self-denial that he would go through, tormenting himself, trying to become worthy and righteous before God. Not in that sense. No. It's a humble repentance that sees one's own sin, but then is turned outside of themselves.
Yeah. Very good. That's excellent. So a threefold use of the saints on All Saints Day. Thanksgiving to God, strengthening our faith, and then examples that we are to imitate. So that's excellent. Now, you'll notice what we haven't said that needs to be said is, do we pray to these people for help? And because a lot of Christians in the world do. Do we?
No.
Who do you pray to then?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
that's right, because he's the mediator between right. God and men. That's 1 Timothy 2. Yeah.
Now, let's be provocative. While we don't pray to the saints, do saints pray for us?
No doubt. You read the book of Revelation, and the prayers of the saints are always going up as incense. How long? You know, and that's still being said.
And Saint Brent prays for Saint Scott. See?
Here on earth. That's right. Yeah. I'll pray for you, I say.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then you actually do, don't you?
And of course, it goes on in the divine service as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For all people according to their needs.
Right. So we don't pray to them because they're not the mediators.
Well, once again,
Jesus is.
That goes with that super Christian mentality, doesn't it? See, saints, you know, are people who are over and above everybody else. They have a special honor and therefore, if you will, special access to God.
And connected with that is the whole medieval and still to this day thinking that since they're super, they've earned some kind of merit that then can be applied to us. You know, there's a treasury of merits out there that they've accumulated, and the church has a key to it, and it'll leak out. They'll unlock the door a little bit and give that out a little bit. But the only merit that counts before God is the merit of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. That's it.
Yeah,
Mary didn't live a faithful life for the sake of so that I could borrow some of it. Am I saying that correctly? Or, you know?
Well, you know, us sinners with the big debt, you know, as we hear in Matthew 18 with the parable of the unmerciful servant, you know, we have this huge debt of our sin. Who pays that debt? Jesus Christ alone. See, none of the saints can give and pay back that.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, which we had for Reformation Sunday, is that literally Jesus alone is the mercy seat. He is the propitiation, or the propitiator, which is the Gnadenstuhl in the German Bible. That's the mercy seat. Not Mary, not James or John or Peter or Paul, but only Jesus.
Do that, folks. A little homework assignment. Go to Romans chapter 3, I think begins at verse 19 or something like that, and look at the prepositions. Prepositions are important.
Say more about that.
By faith, okay, which rules out anything else.
Right.
In Christ. See, here's the object of faith. Nowhere else, okay, apart from works. I mean, look at the prepositions in that text, and it's a beautiful distinction between the law and the gospel.
And
we're all under the law. There is no distinction, and therefore, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that propitiates, pays the price, turns away God's wrath at sin.
Yeah.
So don't look anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, people can be tempted, and this is the way it was in the medieval church, and I suppose it still is to this day, is that, you know, Jesus is viewed to be as more severe. You know, he's more strict. And so, you know, you got to go to his secretary. Talk to the secretary first, and she'll butter him up, and she'll mediate between you and Jesus, who's the harsh judge and the strict ruler. It isn't that way at all. It's just the opposite. You know, but it makes sense to people because, you know, our whole life is lived that way. Before you go see the doctor, you got to check in with the receptionist.
Right. And sometimes you don't ever see the doctor.
Yeah,
right?
That's right, yeah.
So salvation belongs to the saints.
No, to our God, Revelation
says. And to the Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Yeah. Now, I said I wanted to say something about the Matthew text, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Jesus isn't telling you what to be or telling you what to do. He's giving you a blessing. He's giving you gifts. That's the point. This is who you are because he says that. And his word does what it says. That's the whole point.
Blessed are you in Christ, dear saints.
Amen.